You are the foundation of your family. You are the firm footing they build their lives on. You carry a glorious burden, and you never dream of laying it down. You carry it with joy and gratitude. You show up, even when you don't feel like it. You lead, serve, love, and protect. You are a father. This is the Dad Work Podcast, where men are forged into elite husbands and fathers by learning what it takes to become harder to kill, easier to love, and equipped to lead. Get ready to start building the only legacy that truly matters, your family.
Welcome to the Dad Work Podcast. This is Kurt Storing, your host and the founder of Dad Work. And guys, I am joined today by Keith Yackey. I have seen this guy's stuff over the last couple of months, and I'm like, man, he is saying exactly what the men need to hear to have elite marriages and have a lot more and better sex. Because guys, as he says in this episode, sex should get better the longer you're married to your spouse, not worse. And this can actually happen. It is not a fairy tale. And I'm here to tell you this episode is going to give you exactly how to do that and how to make this a reality in your life. We go deep today talking about how to have more sex with your wife and why it's actually so much more important than just getting your physical desires met. Why extreme ownership and taking full responsibility for yourself and your marriage is the key to success. Trust and integrity as the baseline for intimacy, and Keith's five dials that lead to an unreasonably good marriage. Keith Yackey is the founder and creator of MarriedGame.com. When his wife left him 5 years ago, he realized that he was the problem and that his wife was no longer attracted to him. Since getting her back, Keith has dedicated his life to teaching men how to get their wives to want to have sex with them again by doing one simple thing, becoming the most attractive version of themselves. Guys, you can find Keith at MarriedGame.com or his website, KeithYackey.com, if you want to learn more. And guys, this is really cool because Keith actually talks about a lot of the same stuff that we go over on this podcast, in our programs, all that kind of stuff. And he has such a simple way of breaking this all down that it makes so much sense the way he puts it. So I was very excited to get him on here because we had an excellent conversation. A couple episodes ago, I had an interview with Scott Ramage, The Golden Key to a Better Sex Life in Marriage. Guys, you're going to want to put that one on top of this one, listen to them both together. And if you take action and do what these two episodes tell you, there is no way you can fail. It takes a lot of responsibility. It takes a lot of looking yourself in the mirror. It takes a lot of showing up for other people and serving sacrificially and selflessly and knowing exactly who you are in the process and being a giver, not a taker. But guys, this stuff works. I know a lot of guys out there struggle with this and they think it's just the way it is. Marriage goes on, intimacy goes down, and you start to build resentment and things get worse and worse and worse. And finally, you are just in a completely loveless, sexless marriage. That is not cool. That's not the way it has to go. So listen up to this episode. Listen to episode 126 with Scott Ramage. And guys, you can't miss. So this is exciting. It's going to be a great episode. So we're going to jump right into it. Enjoy this episode with Keith Yackey. All right, dads, we're back here for another episode of the Dad Work Podcast. And today, man, you're not going to want to miss this one because this is what so many guys talk to me about. They talk to you about this too, Keith, I'm sure, because this is what you do. And the question that we're going to be answering is, how do you have more sex with your wife?
Yeah.
In marriage, why is that so bloody important? So thanks for coming on, man. I'm pumped. This is good stuff. And why is this your thing? Let's just start there. And then we're going to get into like everything else that goes along with this.
You know, okay, first of all, it's an honor to be here, Kurt. I love your stuff. I love the way you articulate things. It's very similar. Like, we have a very similar philosophy, although we articulate it a little bit differently. I was just telling my wife, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be on this podcast today. And I said, this guy has a lot of similar sentiments that we do, but I said, he's really eloquent. And my wife's like, oh, I love it. I love it when people can like articulate stuff in a manner that is like, anybody goes, he's got a point. And so that's the goal of anything I always do is like, how do I break it down to its most simplest basic blocks where the 13 year old in each of us goes, he's right. He's right. So
big thing. Oh, yeah.
How did I get here? Well, 5.5 years ago, almost 6 years ago, my wife left me. And, I had experienced probably a lot, what a lot of guys did. She wasn't really initiating sex in the relationship at that point in time. She wasn't really enthusiastically participating in the sex. And I frankly thought she was more into the spreadsheets than she was the bed sheets, meaning I just felt kind of like a paycheck. And it was all of my own doing. And so I got back from a retreat. We were about ready to move into our dream house. And she says, I'm going to help you move in, but I'm not staying. And that was really when I was just like, oh shit, I did this again. Cause I had already been married and divorced before with three other kids. Like, cause I'd been down that road and I was like, I didn't even see the signs this time. And I was just like, okay, I'm the problem here. I'm the issue here. And it was as if a light bulb went on in my brain that it like became clear that I can yell about all the dirty laundry in a dark room, but as soon as the light turns on and I realize it's all my dirty laundry, I need to own up to that and I need to take responsibility for that. So that was the genesis of me saying, okay, I'm the problem in my relationship. There's girl number two. And it wasn't like these are the only two girls I knew. I had had sex with hundreds of women before I met my second wife. And I'd been through all of that. It was more like I was seeking and searching for connection. And the way I say it now is, and I still feel the same way, and I think a lot of guys do, is, dude, I just wanted to be loved, man. I wanted to feel loved. I wanted to be wanted. And I didn't feel that, but it was all of my own doing. So I thought, okay, I need to work on me, because the truth of the matter is I could go get another girl and I'm still bringing the exact same problem, my last relationship and the new one, and the problem is me, which also stirred off the, well, dude, if I'm the problem, I'm the solution.
Bingo.
Okay. So that's what got me into it, and how we developed Married Game, and how, you know, I have the Main Cave and the podcast and all that. That was, that's a different story, but this is how I got into this. Hey, how did I even come here to experience all of this, to even have the ground to step up and go, hey, by the way, if you struggle with this, let me show you a solution. I've been through all the deepest problems, and they were all ones I brought on myself.
I love that. We're all about 100% responsibility, extreme ownership. And like you said, it's actually a very hopeful message because you get to do something about it.
Yeah.
And I know so many of my posts, so many of the guys I talk to on calls, they're like, oh yeah, but you don't understand. Like, my wife is blah, blah, blah. Do you want to just touch on excuses and blame where guys are like, well, I just can't do anything? Because I think that's BS. And I wonder what you think.
Dude, I 100% believe you. And I think it's because people are looking at the wrong standard. And I do this. I have monthly meetings out here in the man cave with a group of guys that hang out with me. And every time we open up, I go, okay, how many of you guys honestly feel like 90 to 95% of people you interact with on a daily basis are not really that awake? And every hand goes up, and then they all go, you mean like 99%? I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, almost every standard, everything that's ever been told to the public applies to that 95 to 99% of people that you and I would look up and go, they're asleep. They're not even awake. They don't even care about their dreams or their goals. They don't give a shit about discipline. Like, they don't care. They're just letting the world act upon them. And so for me, when I say, hey, let's look at our standards differently, I just think that my standard has become, and I've lived it in my life, and that is, sex should get better the longer you're married to your spouse. That's something I believe and I'm living out, and I'm watching the hundreds of guys that I've coached, they're living it out. So whereas it was just a different standard. I think the standard in relationships should be the husband and wife telling each other what their fantasies are so they can help fulfill them. Because if you're not telling your spouse your fantasy, who are you telling? You know what I mean? So these are standards that I go, hey, as a dad, for me to be a dad, for me to get my point to know I was a good dad today, I have to spend a minimum of 30 minutes alone with my daughter, one-on-one, talking, listening, watching, being absolutely involved in her life. Well, dude, as you'd probably know this statistic better than I am because of the work you do, but I think what maybe there, I think they said that a dad spends time, just time, alone with their kid, I want to say it was like maybe 20 minutes a week. It was really low.
Last I heard, it was like 26 minutes.
Okay, 26 minutes a week. And I'm like, well, dude, that's for normal people. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to live a normal life. I don't want anybody to look at me and go, there's a normal man. I want them to be like, there's a normal man that decided to get disciplined and understand how this thing works. And he became abnormal. He became extraordinary. He did things, and it's because we are normal, but I just look at the standard and go, hey, listen, I don't like the narrative. The narrative is that everybody's getting divorced, and the people that aren't getting divorced are kind of wishing they were getting divorced. Well, what the hell's up with that? So I just went to work on myself and go, all right, here's the new standard. If my wife is this bad, can I really say that I'm that great? And what I've discovered is that a man who really steps into what we call the dials, what a lot of, I mean, his truest, fullest, striving for his potential self, I see a string of wives following men like that that say, man, I feel so loved by you. How do I make you feel so loved? I'll go down any path of pleasure you want to go to because I trust you so much that you'll never lead me astray. In fact, everything you've introduced me to has made me giggle with glee. So bring me more. What if that was the standard? That's how I shift it for guys and just say, your standard's low. First, personally, and then what you even expect from a marriage is pretty low. And then what you put into getting whatever you expect, that effort's actually even lower. So I just, to me, I don't know, man, maybe the math just added up. And I thought, let's look at the math.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, man. And I love what you said in the end there, that trust piece. And I want to dive into that in a little bit. But man, like, I think that I just want to like underscore what you said is that sex should get better. And I was of the same mind, like the normal mind, so to speak. And I also went through that understanding of like, I heard it said the other day on a podcast, the guy was like, well, if I want unreasonable results, I have to do unreasonable things. And like, why wouldn't you want to? As a dad, yeah. As a husband, as a man, you're good with average? Like, oh, yeah. Gross. Bomb. I want to be way more than average. I want, because not only for me, like, yeah, I want a good life, but my wife, dude, she gave me her life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, oh yeah, now you get an average life. Like, no way. Same with my kids. I have to do more. And it's like looking yourself in the mirror and understanding the power you have. I say this sometimes, guys are like, oh, power. I'm like, well, yeah, but it's power to influence.
Yeah.
It's not power over, but it's power to influence. So do you want to just maybe touch on that? Like how, man, there's so much of this, right? Because it's like, how do you do it? How do you have good sex? But it's like, there's so much more fundamentals.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like doing the thing that, I don't know, brings her trust, intimacy, all that kind of stuff, what are some of these things that you are seeing actually work to bring that connection for the wife to be like, I am all in on you because you are so all in on me.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple things. And first of all, you're right. It's such an exciting topic that it's almost like we can't even get all the words out at once, like, but we want to, because I feel the same energy from you that I have. And that's like, man, if guys just understood this, their life would be set free. And even the thing that I said, what if this is the new standard? There's still guys probably thinking, wait a second, does he talk about his fantasies with his wife? Like the thought that that would even be a reality is so foreign to so many men because of one thing. They have not become such an attractive human being that they know literally they could get whoever they wanted. Now, I speak that as a guy that was a total player before I met my second wife. I got divorced from my first wife. I got married super young. I realized I made some mistakes in how I made that decision. And I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to go hog wild. I was living in Vegas, making a bunch of dough, having the time of my life. And it put into my brain that I know I can attract the most attractive female on planet Earth. The problem with short-term attraction is it doesn't actually translate to long-term attraction. And so when I use the same techniques or become the same person, or my tricks were up, so to speak, with my wife now, she's just like, okay, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Now what? And so I started having to look at it from short-term attraction to long-term attraction and started going, okay, what's really going on here? Well, first of all, the word attraction means people are pulled in. They're leaning into you. A lot of times when I say the word attraction, guys are like, yeah, I know I can lose some weight. Okay, that's a piece of it, a visual piece of it. But there's an energetic piece that I always tell people, nobody's ever mistaken me for Brad Pitt, but we've slept with a lot of the same women. And so the reason for that is simply because of my personality, my ability to have fun in the moment, my ability to give a compliment with somebody without feeling like it diminishes me, my ability to make everything kind of a no big deal, my ability to say, I love me. If you don't love me, you're missing out on the greatest stock pick of all time. Like these types of mentalities. So there's a perspective, A, that if I'm going to do anything, I believe this about business too. Anybody that wants to do business with me is because they want to do it. They will never feel strong-armed, pressured, or cajoled into it, because why would I want that? I want to be wanted in my marriage. I want to be wanted in my business relationships. I want to be wanted by my clients. I have to become something that's so wantable that anybody would be like, you know what? I got to cancel that plan because I just got invited by Keith to go here. What if that was the standard? So first of all, these are just the mindsets of what I go through. And a lot of people see like who some of my best friends are. And they're like, I can't believe you're best friends with that guy. I said, no, you should go be telling him. You can't believe he's best friends with me because you never met a better friend than me, ever. And so these are like things that A, I'm intentional about, and B, I'm not distracted by football. I'm not distracted by Miss America. I'm not distracted by anything out there that doesn't affect me or matter. I honestly don't care give a shit what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. I don't give a shit about any of that. I care about what's my wife think about me. Am I the guy that she would just say, I'm so honored to be with him? So it's like these mentalities first and foremost, and then I can get into some tactics, but is there anything you want to add? I know I just gave a lot there. Is there anything you want to say?
That's perfect. One of the notes I had was the question you ask, which is like, basically, would you sleep with you? Right. And that's becoming that man. Yeah. It's becoming that man everywhere. And if you look in the mirror and you're like, well, I'm okay, but like she should still want it. Like, dude, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Are you attached to her when she looks at you? Like all of the things, like you said, the fitness piece is a part of it. But I love the mindset things too. Like it's expectations. And this is what I see. I talk to my wife about this all the time. Like people walk across the road wearing pajamas.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? My kids, we pulled them out of school and they're homeschooling now. But before they're like, dad, I'm the only kid in class who wears jeans. And I was like, What do you mean? Are they wearing slacks? They're like, no, everyone's wearing pajamas.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And so we have high standards because we expect more because we can see the potential and we need to apply that to ourselves, I would say as well. So anyway, man,
that's the key to personal power. The reason the most attractive person in the world does not need you. It's why you're so damn attracted to him.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Okay. Let me jump into this. I was going to ask this later, but I have to go here now because of what you just said. I tell my guys to serve and love their wives and then to drop expectations. Yeah. Okay. Because a lot of guys, and I'm sure you say, they're like, I'm sure you see it. They go do something for their wife and they're like, and where's the sex?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I did this for you. You therefore owe me. And that transactional nature is, it just doesn't work. Yeah. And then there's resentment. You both hate each other. There's this huge gap and then you get divorced. I tell them, do the thing because you're a good husband and good husbands love and serve their wives.
Yeah.
End of story. No expectations. You can express your desires. Yeah. You should be communicating. And I think that's a huge part of it. Maybe we'll get into that later. But do you agree with this where it's like, go and serve, go and love, go and do all the things. And then you, like you said, be so powerful that you don't need anyone or anything other than yourself. And that just draws people in and then you'll get all your needs met anyway.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I don't know, man. Do you agree with that?
I agree with it 100%. And I tend to have the cliches or the sayings that you don't typically hear in church. So I'm going to add one of those here because people don't forget it. And it's simply this, man. Her response does not dictate my standard. Her response only dictates how long I will put up with being with her while she lives below my standard. And what I mean, first of all, that the frame switches. I'm no longer the interviewee hoping to get the job. I'm the interviewer that gives the job. You've got to feel like a boss to be able to feel that. When you've got to say, like, I truly believe Jesse's the luckiest one on planet Earth to get me as a husband. And I think I'm the luckiest man on earth to have her as a wife. But that only becomes when both of us are so deep and set in becoming the best version of ourselves that our standards are very high. And whenever I'm pissed at Jesse, I notice it because I've dropped below a standard she set for me that I agreed that I would rise to. And that's when I'm usually like, oh, you're so hard on me. And she's like, really? I'm just fucking, this is the standard. You live at this standard here. Why aren't you living it here? So first and foremost, that energy of her response does not dictate my standard. Any woman on planet Earth that gets to be with me will have a guy that will take out the trash. Why? Because it's my fucking trash. That's my standard. I don't look for her to have sex with me. I don't need sex from my wife. I don't care about it. I don't do anything for it except be the most attractive version of me. And so therefore she like is like all over me like white on rice. And it's simply because this is the standard. So often times, first of all, you said something about I'm a catch. We have a phrase in Married Game. We say it to ourselves all the time. I'm the catch of the county. I'm the catch of the county, which means if for some reason my wife died or she slipped on, you know, in the morning, bumped her head and decided I don't want to be Mrs. Yackey anymore. I know that there's 100 women that would be knocking on the door, not because they've reached out to me, but because I understand this game well enough and go, hey, listen, I'm the catch of the county. I'm the catch of the county. I'm also a lover, a leader, and a lighthouse. That's another mantra that we say all the time. Hey, I'm a lover, I'm a leader, I'm a lighthouse. A lover doesn't get to say he's a lover unless he loves somebody the way they want to be loved. So that's, again, standard. There's the golden rule that says do unto others as you want done unto you. The platinum rule that I've created is do unto others as they want done unto them. So figure out what the fuck gets them excited and then go do that, because that's how they are hearing you say, I love you. So listen, this is what I tell all the guys, and this is what I deeply believe. I'm going to be the best version of me. And for whatever reason, and this happens every once in a while, a woman will not rise with the guy. A woman will not set her standards higher. A woman will basically say, I don't like this new, like, better version of you. That's when a guy, when he feels his true power, will be able to say, okay, will I let this lady ride shotgun with me the rest of my life if she literally doesn't even like me? What man would want to put himself through that? So that's where we come to that agreement where I go, listen, if I need nothing, then I don't even need Jesse to love me. Jesse could wake up and say, I hate guys with white hair. And I'd be like, well, that's what this is natural, baby. Like, this is all natural. And she's like, I just can't do white hair anymore. Like, well, if that's why you want to leave me, then I got white hair is who I am. Do you see? But that is true power, which makes somebody go, I would never want to leave a guy like that. It's always opposite. Everything I teach is counterintuitive, probably the same way you do, but it's always principle-based. Do this because this is what the best version of you would do, regardless if you're getting sex or not.
Man, and it's paradoxical too, right? Because as soon as you no longer need anything, you get so much more.
So much.
Like, you get so much more, man. There's two things that came up in that before we want to get into the dials here. Number one, with having high standards, how are you communicating this within the marriage? Is this something you sit down, you're like, hey, I want you to hit X, Y, and Z? Or is it just like, I show up and I am absolutely 100% in all areas, therefore I just naturally, like, you can understand that I expect this? Or what does that conversation piece look like so everyone knows that they're on the same page?
Okay, normally it's the guy that has slipped from a standard that was previously agreed to, right? So when my wife left, I realized she was no longer attracted to me, meaning she was no longer being pulled into me. She was being repelled by who I am and how I acted. So this usually guys are slipping from a standard that they know they should be at. That's what I've typically found. But what we also say is when guys work with me, we have a 90-day program. They work with me. They're not even allowed to talk about their wife. Like, we are going to talk about her, but it's never she's a this and she's a that, she's that. Like, we're going to clean your street so clean that anybody would want to eat off of your clean street. So but he sets his own standard and doesn't even mention it to anybody else. And what happens in that is where the wife goes, wow, he really does live by this standard. And it's not for me, because I deal with a lot of guys that are trying to get their wives back as well. That's kind of actually how I started before I even started Married Game, was helping guys get their ex back. And then it bled into guys that are just, she hasn't gone and I haven't gone, but man, we haven't touched each other in a while. Can you help me get that back? I'm like, yeah, I can help you get that back. So what a lot of times we would do is just teach the guy and basically be like, dude, you have to live by this standard and you actually got to do what you say you're going to do. Because the women are watching and they're like, is he really going to actually do this? And a lot of women would say, whatever you do, don't change for me. Don't change for me. And a lot of husbands are like, well, why wouldn't I want? I am going to change. You're my world. You're my everything. And she's like, yeah, that's what a weak pussy would say. Because if I don't give you my love, your life's going to end. How weak are you? And then intuitively, they know this is a man that's so validation seeking that he can no longer stand on his own opinion, which means he will be swayed and our resources will be taken. And I'm going to be having these three kids with another kid to watch. So there's so much sub-level psychology that goes into it. But yeah, I agree with those statements emphatically.
Man, and that just brought up something that I suggest to guys is like, when you can't stand up to her, you can't stand up for her. Mm-hmm. And that's like such a big thing for a lot of guys to understand, is they lose the identity, like you just said, and they become the whole happy life, puppy dog.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if only she'll like what I do. It's like, no, dude, she wants you to lead. She doesn't want to be the mission. Yeah. She wants to have you to have a mission that she can follow, because she's like totally trusting of that. And you as a man. And the last thing I want to touch on before we get into the dials, because I think these are really important. You mentioned in the lover, It's like loving someone how they want to be loved. And usually I hear guys mention like love languages in this case.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Or how do you find out how your wife wants to love? Because I know for me, it's like, oh, dude, acts of service, you serve me, I am feeling so loved. And yet my wife's not like that at all. And so I had to figure out that like she wants to spend time with me. She wants to feel safe. She wants to be like emotionally connected. What do you mean by finding out what they actually feel love with?
Yeah, I think the love language is the best like framework somebody's put together to explain, hey, this person feels love when you do this. They don't feel love when you do that. And I found that to be, that book to be very true. But what I've noticed is that most guys go in with the intention of, okay, I'm going to love her, but still with that taker energy of, if I do this, I need her to do this. And that really is the crux of everything we're talking about, is if any of these modalities, all these books have very salient points. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, the five love languages, my dials, your dials, his dials, everybody's got a thing that's going on. But the one thing that makes any of our systems, any of our philosophies, any of our actual strategies work has to be done with one simple energy. And this is the framework and the filter that you can put every framework through to say if it's real or it's not. It's this. What energy does it come from? Does it come from giver energy or does it come from taker energy? And a lot of people are teaching strategies and techniques on how to get what you want. And here what I'm trying to say is I know every guy wants sex and I know every guy wants to be wanted. But what very few men know is how it actually happens. Because here's what happens. I'm going to rant just for a minute, but I think it'll be very insightful and for guys to see. Because they're like, well, this marriage coach, any marriage coach will work for you if you understand this one thing. And that is, I don't do stuff to get things and take things. We have seen with our eyes in the wild, somebody might see my wife and I. And a lot of guys that have hung out with us have actually joined our program. They're like, whatever this is, we want that. And they've been some of our best clients because we genuinely are attracted to and we genuinely like each other now. We didn't, you know, a while ago, but now we do. And so there's this love and take of this giving so that people see that and go, I want that. Okay, that's desirable. But they mistake how to get it. They think Keith must know the right words to get Jesse to like him. Nope. I don't know the right words. Even though I'm well-spoken, I don't always know the right words. Keith must have just pulled some move that he learned with those other 200 women to hook Jesse in and he's got her under his spell. Nope, that's not true either. It's one simple thing. It's how it naturally happens is I don't care if Jesse's into me. I want it. I desire that, but I don't need that to live my very best life. And so what guys don't understand is they've got to get to the point of not needing anybody else's pat on the head, pat on the back, pat on the ass. I don't need any of that. I love who I am and I believe I'm the catch of the county, but I'm only believe that because we'll get through the dials because I actually show up every single day. I have the proof of it. And so what I've learned is that you have to become the guy that does not give a shit. And whatever you have to pay, whoever you have to see, you do this because this is the actual setting free of everything. And then your wife goes, damn, dude, I can't wait to be next to him. You can't force it. They say you can't negotiate desire. Attraction isn't a choice. All that shit is really true on a cellular level. And people can read it from an energy. They know when they're trying to get something from somebody. We all know it.
Man, I'm so glad you said that because one of the things that I just sort of figured out in my head, I was like, hey guys, you can't have any needs, drop expectations. But then they're like, well, like, what do I do then? I'm like, okay, you can express your desires,
yeah,
but don't have needs. And this is exactly what I just heard you say. It's like, yeah, of course you desire things. You want a great marriage. You want to have sex, but you can't need that. Because that energy is so easy to pick up on. And then you're just like, oh man, I can't even imagine a woman thinking that that's attractive as you're groveling.
Oh,
I don't know, man. Like it's just,
no,
it sounds terrible.
It's killed more lady boners than anything, man. But here's another thing too, Kurt, which is really interesting that I've discovered is imagine, and I have guys think this, and I want you to think this, the group of dudes that's listening to this, and that is, imagine how powerful you'd have to become for you to feel like every time you asked your wife for sex, if she said no, it didn't hurt your feelings at all, but you just realized, this is not how I want the rest of my life to go. So I might be with a person that just doesn't want to play volleyball the rest of their life. We agreed to play volleyball, but she no longer likes it. I can just say, all right, well, hey, I know who I am. I don't have to make it a big deal. I'll just be like, hey, you clearly don't like the same things I like, or you clearly don't even like me. The only guy that can say this is the guy that's really done the work and got to a point where he goes, hey, I like me. Most guys coming into our program are not that way. And I'm sure they're probably not that way when they come into your program, but they go, I want to be that way so that they can have the power to say that. But that is ultimately when you really meet somebody that's a total giver, it's kind of shocking to the senses at first. You're like, but you don't want anything? No, I don't. You don't have to email for me. You don't have to put it's just, I just like you and I wanted to give this to you. Whoa, dude. Like it's so rare, but that is what makes it so damn attractive. People want what they can't have. And yet most guys are willing to say, I'll do anything to get her back. You'll do anything? I'll do anything. Just take this pain away. Well, the pain is you being an idiot and nobody wants to be around you. And if I don't fix you, then that pain comes right back when she comes back to realize you're the same disgusting slug that she left. And now she's gone for good. That's a way different energy, man.
Yeah, man. The importance of identity in all of this, like, cannot be understated. And that's why, like, I get my guys coming in, they get the habit stack, they get the community, they get coaching. But what they do is, like, they actually secretly, and I tell them this, like, way down the line, I'm like, guys, you're figuring out who the heck you are so that you can actually show up from a place of that grounded identity where you actually like yourself and you know who you are in the first place. And it's like, oh, I thought we were doing, it's like, yeah, you know, we're doing much deeper work than you think we're doing because it's so fundamental. And if you don't know who you are, figure that out now. Whether you got to write about it, whether you got to hire a coach, whether you got to join a program, figure out who you are and then learn to squash the miserable, weak, lazy, pathetic old version of you so that you can build your ideal self, which is like, dude, the more I see guys like you, guys like Kyle, all the guys in, you know, the programs are going through, it's like, you can actually have it all. I don't know if people understand this. And that's why I love this like mental reframe that you started us with. You can have it all. You can have the body, you can have the marriage, you can have the business, you can have like the every day when you wake up, contented excitement to be alive. You can do that. And so like you said, people don't expect that.
Yeah.
Because nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
So hey, I don't know if you want to riff on that, but otherwise.
I want to just say one thing. My nickname in my group is they call me Mufasa because I feel like I'm like telling guys, remember who you are. Because most guys, when their wife was attracted to them in the beginning, it was true attraction. This is why I have 100% success rate with every guy that comes through. And I'm proud of that number until I lose it. I'm fucking stating it to the world. They had close to 250 guys that make them a promise. You do the work and this doesn't work, I don't want your money. And I mean it. But the reason they don't ask for one is because they were the guy that their wife wanted. They've dropped the standard and their view of who they are. So many times I'm just like, remember who you are. So I give them the middle name motherfucker. You know what I mean? What's your last name, Kurt?
Storing.
Oh, Storing. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, I'll be like, hey, you are Kurt motherfucking Storing. Like reminding guys, dude, she used to be attracted to you because there was an attractiveness in you. It's not like you were total nerd dweeb bait. Nobody wanted you. And then this lady was forced into being married to you. There was something there, man. So you're right. It's that identity, waking that person back up again. I'm like, dude, you used to be the captain of the football team, bro. Now you are, what happened? What the fuck happened?
Yeah. So. And that's a helpful message though, right? Because guys don't have to like become something that they're not. They have to find that which they just like lost in drift and inertia and like just being a slug basically, like you said. Let's dive into these dials.
Okay.
Because I've heard these before and I'm like, man, these are so good. Let's go through what the dials are, why you come up with them, how guys can sort of implement these things and improve based on them. So I'm just going to let you run with it.
All right. Well, how I came up with them was me and my buddy Garrett J. White, we surf all the time. And as he knew about me helping exes get their wives back, and he's like, bro, why don't you just teach dudes? Why don't you just teach dudes? So we were kicking the idea around and we'd bring up frameworks, and I call him the Mr. Name It and Frame It. That guy can, I don't know if you know Garrett J. White at all, but he can come up with some names and frames pretty quickly. And I also can come up with them pretty quickly. So the two of us when we're surfing, it's like, well, what about this? What about that? So we came up with a lot of this stuff together. So that's where a lot of them came from. But I'll tell you the dials. And when I preface the dials, these are things that you can practically do every single day to ratchet up your attraction, because any dude doing these things is radically attractive to any spouse. And if she was attracted to you in the beginning, then these will look, that's the, first of all, let's say, understand, I want people to understand the mechanical wiring of men and women, in my estimation, based off of a lot of experience, but also I've read some books that talk about it, is this. If a woman is attracted to a man, if he stops doing attractive things, or he starts doing unattractive things, because you are what you do on a continual basis, then her natural attraction, that bucket, it just starts leaking ever so slowly, and it just starts draining to eventually she's just like, man, I love you, but I am not in love with you. I don't tingle for you at all. I don't want to kiss you. I don't want to be near you. I'm embarrassed by you. Holy shit, I'd actually prefer to be with somebody else. Damn it, I got to get rid of you. I'm gone. Okay, that's slow. But the same wiring that does that, and it can happen subconsciously to her. She's just like, man, something's off. I don't know what's up with Keith. And boom, 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 boom. Same thing is when a man starts to do attractive things again and stops doing unattractive things, that bucket actually starts to fill back up, even without her knowing, subconsciously, it's filling back up. Why? Because she's attracted to a guy like you when you're your most attractive you. She's already been, so the wiring, everything is built for this guy to get her to be attracted to him again. It's not guesswork. It's not like, man, I really hope we win this one. I know every time a guy calls me and says, hey, I'm thinking this, doing this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're 100% the guy that would get 100% result from 100% of this work if you do it. Why? It's like, Keith, do you know the alphabet? Yeah, I'm not going to forget the alphabet. So these five dials are the simple things that if you do these every single day, that's what's starting the attractive thing, doing the attractive thing. So this is what, dude, I'm telling you, 75% of guys that we work with, and I'm sure you see something very similar, once they come in and understand this philosophy and how to do this, 75% of the guys report back to me in a poll we took. Between week one and week two, there was a drastic change in what was going on in their marriage. And it's energetic, like something's happening. And it's because we're turning the polarity of the magnets pushing each other. We're just turning them by doing this, and then they automatically slam together. So that's the setup for the dial. So the guys understand why we broke it down like this. So
beautiful. Should we get, man. Yeah, let's just keep going. And you know what? That's so important that you said that too, because it can be like, look, you spent 30, 40, 50 years doing things in your life that got you here in the first place. So it's a long ball game. You know, you got to earn that trust back, which is that filling up of the bucket. And I've seen the same thing, man. Within the first week, within 11 days, I got a text from a guy the other day. He's like, I don't know how to say this, but my wife told me the other day that she wants to have another baby and we haven't had sex in like a year. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. He's like, because she loves me so much because of how he's showing up. It's like, dude, it just works immediately. It saves marriages. Yeah. And it's not just about sex, but man, it's such a fundamental part of everything that it will just lead to more, it'll lead to a better marriage. Anyway, you know the results. You've seen guys have a massive success. What are these dials? How do we do them?
And I look at sex as the fruit. It's just the indicative, like, oh, that tree's either thick or it's not. When you start seeing apples falling off the thing and it's just a bun everywhere, like, that's a good ass root, dude. That tree's doing what it's supposed to be doing. But if it's not, like, it's the root, and it's, we got to fix that. So this is how we fix that. So the first dial is the parenting dial, showing up as a good dad. And, you know, I think these are the five dials that our wives are like looking at us at and saying, is he these things? Well, dude, her life goal and mission, I believe, as a woman is to bear children. Like, that's their job. They don't do that. We as a species no longer continue on. We want to fuck. They want to have babies. Well, both those things are what keep our species going. So that's why we have these deep urges for both of these things. And so what happens? Well, she goes, dude, my job is to birth this baby, raise this baby, make sure this baby goes on to be thriving and surviving. And I always say that your wife is going to love her kids more than she loves you. And guys are like, oh, that's not true. It's us first. And I go, I get what your intention is, but I've never seen a woman divorce her kids. But I've seen a woman divorce men all the time. So we can argue with it, but that's a pretty good 100% stack, like percentage, like that's in our favor. So just know that she's going to think that way. And yes, I do call kids cock blocks because they are, but it doesn't mean we can't maneuver around them and they're supposed to be here. That's how we continue on. So obviously there's a way for us to be able to do this. I always tell guys, you know, where we surf, there's rocks. It doesn't keep us from surfing. We just don't surf into them. We go around them. It's like, they're here. They're not going anywhere unless any of us go and chisel that thing out. And we wouldn't do that because that's a part of what it is. And so same thing with them. Are you a good dad? Are you do you care? Are you invested in the care of this child? And if not, and I was the world's worst, my wife said, I don't even want to have another kid with you because you were such a bad dad. That was said against me and it was true. So I was like, all right, well, clearly I need to work on this. And so now my wife says like, dude, truly you are like the greatest dad. And my buddies are all the time like, you're such a good dad. I'm like, I realized that I'm supposed to be a good dad. That was like the worst indictment ever of being a horrible fucking dad. That's horrible. So now I spend a minimum of 30 minutes a day with my daughter. And how I look at parenting, not everybody has to look at it this way, but for me and my work, I take Monday off. I work Tuesday through Friday from basically 4 a.m. till about 5 p.m. I'm on my thing for those 4 days. And then Saturday and Sunday, I don't look at it like the weekend. I look at it like it's my dad. I check into my dad job. And like my family's never heard me say I'm tired for one simple reason. I would never tell you I'm tired. I would never tell my clients I'm tired. I would never show up and go, hey, this is going to be a total C+ podcast. I'm really exhausted today. Sorry, Kurt. I'd never do that. So then why would I do that to my family? So Saturday and Sunday is all about them. What are we doing together? What? And then that Monday is my day where everybody can go fuck themselves. This is my day. I come to my man cave or I go surf. I do whatever I want all day long. Nobody can say nothing about nothing. But I've prioritized my family, my kids specifically, because I know that, hey, that's what a good dude does. So that's the first dial she's looking at. Second dial, make them a little quicker. That one I get a little excited about because there's so many dads that are really messing this up and it's so easy. Oh,
yeah.
Another thing.
Well, no, same thing, man. Yeah, go ahead.
My favorite parenting advice I've ever given anybody was, and it's the truest advice I've ever lived. And it was when I stopped asking my kids to come do stuff with me that made me excited. And I started asking them what do you want to go do that makes you excited? When I switched that energy, dude, dadding became so fun for me. I was like, oh my God. And then I asked my daughter, I said, hey, listen, I haven't been 8 in a very long time. It's been 36 years old. It's been 36 years since I've been 8 years old. And I want to help. Will you help me remember what that's like? Will you explain to me how you're feeling? And that's so dude, cool. We went to Disneyland the other day, but we did the VIP where you just cut in line through the whole thing. And I was like, okay, Jova, you're at Disneyland. We've done this at we've done this at two other places like Legoland, and we did it at Universal Studios and Harry Potter Land. But we hadn't done it at Disneyland. And I was like, okay, we're going to Disneyland. You're 8 years old. Like, what's going through your mind right now? And she goes, oh, you want me to tell you what an 8-year-old thing? I'm like, yes, tell me what it is. And I just get all jacked up with her, like, yeah, dude, that's right. Those characters, and like maybe we're gonna see a pirate. Like, I'm remembering all the shit I thought at that age. So that's my best piece of parenting advice is meet them where they want to be met. And dude, you will have way more fun anyway. Okay.
That's so good. Let me just, I love that. I'm going to use that framework because we've started. So what I do is I've got weekly dates with everyone in the family and we alternate through whatever day it's going to be. And, you know, with my wife, I'm always going to lead. That's just how we need to do things as men. I will, you know, ask for her opinion if I want to figure out a really special thing, but I'm going to be the one who's like, we're going on a date. I'm picking you up. Here's where we're going. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
With the kids, same sort of thing. I was like, what do you want to do? And they're like this. I'm like, what? Like, why you're interested in that? That's amazing. And the same sort of energy, man, is let them lead so that, you know, all this rest of this kind of stuff. But the missing piece for me that you just said is like, help me remember. That dude, that's going to change everything, even in my life. So thank you very much for going down there. That's a great piece of parenting advice.
And stealing it for sure. I don't know what state you're in. What state are you in?
Canada. I'm in Canada, man. I'm in BC.
Okay. Well, Vancouver. If THC cannabis is legal where you're at, Try doing 10 milligrams of sativa THC gummies, wait an hour, then go hang out with your kids. And I promise you, you will be the best dad on planet Earth. I'm actually going to write a book. It says how cannabis made me the greatest dad on planet Earth, because it got me in that mindset again. I know we're going off topic here, but I really love parenting, and I love my daughter so much that it's so fun to talk about. But we have, I call it Jovi and Brovi. Brovi is Jovi's brother, which is me. And if I get gummied up and I'm in the pocket, like I'm in full creator's pocket, I'll be like, hey, yo, she doesn't know anything about that. But I just go, hey, Brovi's ready. And she goes, oh, Brovi is her 9-year-old brother who says yes to everything and is the leader of the pack. So if we go to a trampoline park and it's Jovi and Brovi's adventure, she knows, oh, we're hanging with this guy. So it has helped me get into that mindset. Those experiences and those unlockings of those truths all happened to me on cannabis. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, man. Sweet. Let's put it in styles.
All right. You're like anti-TH. Like, I don't know if you are now, but I'm saying you're the big anti-THC guy. And I'm telling you all about how
it'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, dude. My thing's cutting out. Peace. No, it's fine.
You're like, and what's the next dial? Okay. Dial number two is the partnering dial. This is one where guys mess it up a lot. The partnering dial is, I just pretty much say it's like the best friend dial. Does your wife really feel like she could hang out with you? And a lot of guys, I pose this standard, new standard, and go, what if you were such a good friend to her that her coming home and telling you about her day got her, she was more excited. That was the highlight of her day. She could not wait to get home to tell her very best friend all about whatever. And you were that great of a conversationalist. You were that much of a retreat from her, for her, from the world, to be able to you were that good of a communicator. You don't think she's sucking that guy's dick? You damn right, dude. She's going to love that guy so deeply because you're now connecting on an emotional level, which most guys don't know how to do. And so when it comes to the best friend dial, it's like you're listening and you're saying, hey, I'm an active listener. Like, oh, really? Tell me more about that. How did that make you feel? The guys that are just like, uh-huh, oh, yeah, okay, cool, yeah, hey, like they're putting in time. But I'm like, dude, if this was some hot chick from high school you haven't seen forever and she's telling you about a story, you're listening up, man. You're looking for cues. You're looking how to be a better communicator. Why wouldn't you be that way with your wife? If you want her to be just this tiger in the sheets, but dude, you can't even listen to her. So I think that's very, it just, this best friend dial is, and my wife said, I feel more alone married to you than I would be if I was single. That's how bad I was at this. See, when guys hear me talk and the concepts and they see me in Jesse's life, it's like, they don't understand. I was the worst at this 5.5 years ago. Like the guy that could teach, hey, how to be the worst at this, that would be me.
Man, I think I would be co-host of that show. That's why it's so powerful, man. Like, these are stories of hope. It's not like we're just some, I don't know, charlatans going like, oh, you should try this. Like, dude, I was so bad.
Yeah.
When we were living in Europe, my wife was like, I'm taking the kids and going home. And I'm like, well, why? Yeah. I did what you did. I looked at myself. I'm like, oh, I am a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have to figure that out. And it's like, the thing is though, like Kyle and his bro, Ryan, always say, it's like, because we've been there, we can now reach down into that well where guys are suffering.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing. I'm so grateful that I was so bad for so long, because now it's power.
Yeah.
I can help these guys, because I don't want anyone to go through that and feel that terrible.
Yeah.
And man, it's so simple. Just listen to her and empathize and validate, and then like mirror back what you're hearing, and then just like be there when she needs you.
Yeah.
It's like, hold her, bring the, oh man.
The reason why guys don't do it is because it seems like, well, it's so simple. Why, how do we mess that up? Well, it's because another standard has been set, and it's a wrong standard, and it's a standard for mediocrity. And the standard is, hey, because I protect, because I provide, because I produce, I'm just expected for you to show up as this sexy lingerie laden lady. When in reality, it's like, no, protecting, providing, producing, that is what you're supposed to do as a man. That's your job number one. And if you're not doing that, you're not a man that should even be looking at reproducing your genes. Secondly, now, how do you make a woman feel like radically loved and safe and wanting to express this initiative and express this vulnerability in front of you when you've done nothing to support that? It's ridiculous. And so the standard is guys think, well, I'm doing these, so they get entitled to this. And so therefore they stop. They become radically apathetic, and apathy leads to a loss of attraction, like, very quickly. So this is what's happening on this level. And that's why guys, if they up their partner dial, they really, life changes big time for them. All right. Third,
yeah. The cost of entry. It's a cost of entry, right? Like, you don't get anything for going to work. Your work starts at 5 o'clock, not 9 o'clock. When you get home, that's when your real work begins. Yeah. And I just want to share with guys as well, like what you just said about connecting with your wife and making her feel seen and loved and all that kind of stuff. I have seen in my life and all the guys I'm working with, trust is the currency of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And you're not building trust unless you're truly seeing someone.
Yeah.
If she feels like you're apart, or like, why are you telling me this? Or I would never tell you this. It's like, dude, you have to understand that this is what she's looking for. She's not looking for you to just like do more stuff and be this, I don't know, provider, whatever you're, like you said. She's got to feel seen and loved and all that kind of stuff. And you've got to show up for her in the way that, like you said before, she feels it. And she's way more emotional than you are. So you better learn how to be an emotional master, a communicative master. Otherwise, you're never going to connect. Yeah. Anyway, number three, let's go.
Hey, but I'm really glad you said that, because it's like, there's the one caveat. If you want her to feel radically attracted and sexually into you, you've got to learn that emotional stuff. See, a lot of guys are thinking like, well, do I really need that? Well, dude, the gateway of emotion is going to give you what you want. So a lot of guys just think, if I'm a good dude, I deserve to have a good sex life. No, the same way you don't deserve big biceps if you don't curl heavy weights. The only way you're going to have a radically sensuous and, dare I say, raunchy relationship, if that's what you want, you've got to get the skills to be able to understand what will create that in your wife. And so this is the reason why we talk about this stuff, is because, like, listen, I love being radically emotionally connected with my wife, because that does create another dynamic. To me, I think soul sex is the greatest sex of all sex, man. That's another thing I believe, is that honeymoon sex is for the minor leaguers. These are things that are actually that I believe, not that I go, oh, that would sound like a cute little thing that somebody say. It's like, I believe it in the core of my being. And that's why I show up the way I do. I don't believe the other thing anymore. All right. Third dial is the provider dial. You got to start providing deeply and become a man of resources. They want to feel safe, that they know they're going to be able to be taken care of. Most guys are good at this, so I'm going to kind of leave that one there. The next two dials, I think, are the ones that guys mess up the most, and that I think a few good, nice quips will get us tied up as we round it out. Are you good with that?
Perfect, man. Let's go.
Okay. The fourth dial is the player dial. The player dial is, this is what I'm talking about, when you learn the actual art of seduction with your wife. When you learn, women from a very little age have loved the game peekaboo. They love it. They love my daughter this morning. We have an island where we live, and there's like a wall. And so I peeked out this side and she caught my eye. And then I made sure it caught my eye. And then I came over, and then I came over to the other side and she caught my eye. And then a smile kind of on her face, like, oh, what's going on here? And then I baited her again, let her catch my eye. And then I went down low and crawled behind the cabinets and scoofed her. And then, dude, she just lost her mind, giggling, loved it, got out of her chair, started chasing me. They love games. So the reason I call it married game is because married men have lost or don't know how to have game with their wife. And it takes understanding. If you want to, quote unquote, score, you got to understand the rules of the game. It's just that simple. Nobody goes up to nobody trots out onto a football field with a baseball bat and goes, why aren't we having success here? It's like, this wrong game, dum-dum. Here's the game. Your wife wants to be pursued. She wants to be chased, but not too much. She wants to feel like you want her, but she also wants to know you don't need her. There's all these little things that are, it's why it's so confusing, because some guy can be like, pursue, pursue, pursue. And the other guy's like, no, you sit back, let him come to you. And it's like, well, is that short-term attraction application or is that long-term attraction application? Well, how the fuck does it work? And so there's all this noise out there. And when it boils right down to it, it's your responsibility to be able to seduce one woman, your wife. That's it. So learning her love language, what makes her excited? When you do something, she gasps. Oh, well, oh my gosh. I make my wife a green drink every morning. And lately, every once in a while, I'll pop up and be like, oh, did you order one of these? And I'll deliver it to her because I get up way earlier than her. And just this morning, I was right outside. We got a new little kitty cat. And so I gave and the way the door system works, I just gave the green drink to my daughter who was in with the cat and said, hey, give this to mom. And I heard her walk in. As soon as she came up, I heard my wife gasp, oh, like she was so shocked that we hand delivered her her green drink. Dude, I've been doing this for 4 fucking years, man. So it's not like this is Operation Green Drink and we just tried it 6 days ago. We're seeing how it works. Bro, I'm on day damn near 1500 on this thing. You know what I'm saying? And so I go, oh, what is it? That's an act of service. She loves active service. She likes it when I'm thinking about her. She likes it when her words of affirmation and physical touch are her two bottom. But the other one of like time and attention. And I think that's the real issue is a lot of guys don't understand when it comes to the player dial. Long-term attraction, not short-term attraction. This is long-term attraction. Guys love TNA. We love tits and ass. We just go, well done. Whoever made that species, knuckle bump to you. You nailed it. But we like tits and ass. They like TNA as well, but they like time and attention. I believe it's carved into the concrete stone of a woman's being to want and desire and crave the attention of a supremely valuable man. That's why they looked for it from their father, who was the most valuable man in the world to them. It's why when girls become strippers or adult stars or whatever, they go, she has daddy issues. And the way they say that she needs men's attention. Well, every girl needs it and every girl wants it. So if you become this badass dude, the best version of you, she's going to want your attention. So therefore, when you give her your attention, which attention is just focused energy. And I believe energy is your greatest asset, not time. You can have all the time in the world, but without energy, what's it worth? Nothing. So energy, vitality, who you are as a person in life and how you show up. This is the most attractive shit in planet Earth, man. So that's the being part of it. The actual doing part, I always just use the analogy of dates. Like, when's the last time you took your wife on a date and where'd you go? And they'll be like, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. I'm like, well, what'd you do? Well, we went to Home Depot, picked up some parts for the remodel we're working on. And then we, cruised through the Chick-fil-A drive-through line. And it's like, oh, shit. No wonder, Casanova. No wonder you're not getting more ass in a toilet seat. Like, this is not dating. But again, if the hot chick from high school showed up and you were single and she's like, hey, let's catch up. You're like, yeah, it's a date. You'd be putting a lot of effort into that. You'd be making sure that you were doing what you could. And the key word would just be effort. You're putting effort in. And so a lot of guys, they treat their marriage as if they crossed the finish line when in reality, they just stepped into the starting blocks. That's the mental shift for what it really means to become a player.
Dude, we got like 3 minutes. What's the last dial?
Okay, power dial. Power dial is this. When you do what you say you're going to do, when you say you're going to do it without fault. That will build up the trust.
Let's go.
And my favorite quote from me is, when the trust goes up, the lust goes up. And that's really what happens is when they can bank on your word that you do what you say you're going to do. You're going to start the business, you start it, and you make it successful. You're going to lose the weight, you actually lose the weight. You're going to be a better dad, you are a better dad. It's not like they don't want to have to mom you. The mom matrix is like you're trying her for her validation. Did you see my good act? Will you please applaud and praise me? That's so low status behavior.
Dude, I love this. I call this the snooze button trust trap. You know, you're like, oh honey, I'm gonna go to the gym, wake up at 4:30, I'm gonna go. And then it's like, oh, I'm comfy. It's 4:30, alarm rolls around. You're like, oh, I'll just hit the snooze. It's not that big of a deal. Like, oh, I'll go tomorrow. But guess who sleeps in your bed? Your wife, bro. And what does she see? She sees you hit that snooze button and she can't trust you for anything. Yeah. And even go up, you can't even go to the gym in the morning. How am I going to trust him to lead the family? And that bucket goes whoosh, right down to the bottom, man.
Exactly.
Right. I love that. Man, yeah. These are so good. I'm so pumped that you've like been able to figure out the way to say these in all the right ways. I'm like, I got to figure out how to talk to you so you can get all of my things sounding amazing because this is so good and it's
so true.
And I just want to tell everyone else, dude, I've seen this too. Okay, this isn't just like some random thing he's come up with. This is truth. This is just fact. So if you guys want success in your marriage, if you want to have more sex, you want to build a legacy that truly matters, which is a successful family, do what he just said. Okay. This is like an hour that you can apply to your life today to have a better love life, to have a better marriage. Why wouldn't you? Dude, where can we find more about you? Because I know guys are going to want that.
KeithYackey.com has pretty much everything I am about and what I'm working on right now. If they want more specific talk about this, marriedgame.com, they can go there and watch a video. And if they want to chat with us, they can chat with us. And we're happy to help. This is what I always say. It's the action that causes the attraction. And so these things are things that you can take action on every single day. Just start doing these things, even with just listening to this podcast, start doing these things and watch what happens.
Yeah, dude. Action is the antidote to average. We've got weird little quotes that go on like almost the same. I love this.
It's good, man.
Friends, man. All right. Thanks for being on here, dude. This was really, really good.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Thank you for listening to the Dad Work Podcast. That's it for this episode. But if you would like to stay in touch between weekly episodes, why don't you go over to Instagram and follow me there? Because I drop a number of things throughout the week that are related to what we talk about on this podcast, but usually go a little bit deeper, provide some tips. You can find me on Instagram at dadwork.curt. That's dadwork.curt. And please, if you have been getting something out of this podcast, if it has touched you, if it has improved your marriage, your parenting, or your life, would you please leave a quick review on Apple or Spotify? Leave a rating. If you have a few extra seconds, leave a quick review. That's the best way that we can get this work in the hands of more fathers. And I truly believe that we change the world one father at a time, because each father that parents better, that loves better, raises children who do the same. And in just a couple of generations, I feel like we could be living in a world much better than the one we live in today. Your review will help along that path. And I thank you so much for being here to listen. Until next week, we'll see you then.